Chapter 16, revisit chapters 1 through 15, part 2, chapters 9 through 15, 2022. You know, I am on the other end of the phone all day. I'm all over the world, and I travel. Not as much as I used to. My goodness, technology has brought the world right in my office. But, you know, the question might come up, why do we have to revisit these chapters? I know it doesn't, but boy, I bet it does. Because we don't do it if we don't put a chapter in there that says, go do it. We won't do it. It's hard enough to do it as it is. And I hear, you know, your God is the God of fire and brimstone. The answer to that, yes, it is. I just talked with Adrian this morning, and we were working that sentence. He is. He says, pick me or don't. We don't have a choice. There's only one God. But we're in this crazy time zone. Am I right? Time zone. I don't like my God, so I'll change it. I'll make up another one. I don't like my parents. I'll change it. I'll get new ones. I don't like that I'm a boy or a girl. I'll just buy a different me. I'll just do whatever I want. I'll make up my own God. I'll make up my own self. I'll make up my own parents. I'll make up anything I want to make up, and I'll just be that. And when I die, how do you complete that sentence? Look, it is fire and brimstone. I tell you all the time, behave yourselves. The road is narrow, it says, narrow. But the road to hell is a wide open freeway, man. But you notice it's not two-way. Neither one of them are two-way. Both of them are for eternity, and they're one way. I'm telling you, man, these chapters help me, and they can help you. Chapter 16, revisit chapters 1 through 15, part 2, which is chapters 9 through 15. We did 1 through 8 last week. What was it? Well, I hope you remember. So let's get started. When I remember the stupid things I've done in my life, it refreshes my memory. It refreshes my memory, and I realize how many times God saved me from my bad choices. It brings to mind all my sins for repentance, prayers of gratitude and supplication for the love he must have had for me in saving me from the insane, thoughtless, sinful situations I put myself into. Huh? How much he loved me. When I remember these things that happened in my life that dog me, I think how much he loved me to get me out of it, to get me through it. I thought I was lucky, right? And I was. But luck runs out, brother. Believe me, luck runs out, and mine did. Fortunately, Jesus never runs out on me or you. With these reminders that I give you in each chapter, I still make plenty of mistakes. Without the chapters, remembering my testimony, the scriptures that cause understanding of God, where will I be? Without these chapters, I make enough mistakes with these chapters. I make enough mistakes remembering my testimony. I make a bunch of mistakes with Scripture. Can you imagine where I would be without it? For those of you who have no time for assignments, consider your position of authority. What would you give today if you knew you would lose it all tomorrow? What would you give today if you knew you would lose it all tomorrow? You would lose all of it. I bet you'd make time today, wouldn't you? Chapter 16, part 2, chapters 9 through 15, 2022. Take notes, take notice, take yourself seriously. We're in a world that says, don't take yourself so seriously. That's not good. The Bible says, mark every minute, every hour, every day. Because they are limited. There is a limit to them. There is a time for you to live and a time for you to die. Take care of every day as if it was your last. You don't know. Let's start with chapter 9. Let's start our revisit 9 through 15 here, huh? The myth of stewardship. What is that?
The myth of stewardship. The myth of stewardship,
Pretty simple. I think I'm doing great. I'm a great steward, and I'm not. I think I'm doing well. I'm a good steward. And I'm not. I've lost clarity in my life, my walk. It might take a serious shakeup to remind me of my direction, to get me back on track. God will do that for you. I like to try to avoid that, but how do I do that? I gotta stay clear. Stay clear in my mind. Stay clear in your mind, my friends. The life and cause of Jesus re-identified in study every day. People say Jesus isn't in the Old Testament. He's in the New Testament. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. You gotta learn to read it, man. Who can look at the book a couple times a week or monthly and get anything usable out of it? Nobody. Unless I check myself with Scripture and in fellowship every day, I will be wrong about this or that, and that will yield nothing good. Let God be honest with you when you pray to Him and talk to Him. Let Him be honest with you. Do the hard work. It's a much more honorable path for all that He's done for you. Engage the Lord in deep thoughts of redemption, forgiveness, wisdom in the Holy Spirit. The myth of stewardship? ? Definition, myth, a false belief. Pray first and listen to the word in His holy word. Authentic. Myth of stewardship? I don't need any storybook tales about my life. I need historical evidence. Fact, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Why do I need all these things? Because of 2 Corinthians 2:11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The world says there is no heaven. That's the greatest tool the devil has, that he doesn't exist. And the whole world has said that God doesn't exist. Kids, God exists, and he is for you. But it's important in that relationship that you are for him. Chapter 10, that was chapter 9, myth of stewardship, chapter 10. The difference between breach of fiduciary responsibility and a mistake. Breach of fiduciary duty, as you remember, is a deliberate disobedience, period. Breach of fiduciary duty is a deliberate disobedience, a breach in your responsibilities. A mistake is an error you might be able to fix, something you didn't know. Breach of fiduciary duty can cost you everything, absolutely everything. A mistake could be very expensive as well, but it's not intentional. Big difference. Especially when you're in a position of authority. Best to learn the information. Be ready and ask the Lord for strength against temptation and stupid to show you mistakes before you make them. Knowledge before the mistake, direction and discernment. Starting to get the theme here? It's a relationship. You got to stay close to him every day, huh? Knowledge before the mistake, direction and discernment. If it hasn't killed you, fix your mistakes as quickly as possible. Ask God to interrupt when it comes to breach of fiduciary duty. Ask God to interrupt when your mind is planning, right? Planning the breach. Beg him to help you. Before you put it all on the line, you listen to that voice in your head that is not God. It is not God. Pray to him to interrupt when you know it's direct disobedience. Beg him to help you before it's too late. Common sense is not so common, kids, and stupid is really, really expensive. Proverbs 1, 5 through 7, let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Keep that one close to the vest, kids. Chapter 11, the overuse of Scripture. We got 9, 10, we're rolling into 11, the overuse of Scripture. Simply put, the incorrect use of Scripture. There is no overuse of Scripture if used correctly. Is it that simple? Yes, it is that simple. However, the misuse of Scripture, I was thinking about that for consideration of the title of the chapter 11, the misuse. The more I thought about it, I thought it's an incorrect assessment, borders on judgment. The overuse of Scripture, I could judge who is doing that would be an incorrect assessment, perhaps. Why? Because the overuse covers a lot of things. It covers a multitude of improper failures. It's not one or two things. It's a multitude of improper failures that cause the hopeless to remain hopeless. You don't use Scripture right. I say it again. If we misuse Scripture or incorrectly quote Scripture, the lost could remain lost. That's not what God told you to do. He told you to tell everybody the good news. The problem? Incorrect use, improper understanding, manipulative misuse, misunderstanding of the actual text, all extremely problematic. Know your text. Know your Bible. Understand and gain knowledge through correct teaching. James 1:26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Kids, know your book, chapter 11, the overuse of Scripture. Know your book. Be able to work with the Lord, not against him, in the name of the Lord. Oh, that's a dangerous one, isn't it? Working for the Lord, but in the name only, like, right? Doing all kinds of stupid things in the name of the Lord. Misuse, misrepresentation of the Lord, of the Word. Oh, come on, dudes. Chapter 11 is so serious. Chapter 12, the triangle, the sliding scale. The five sides of the triangle. Legendary, isn't it? Legendary. Well, at least if you're in the Reddit Corp, it is. Legendary. I've tried over the years to hail this chapter as the best tool in the toolbox. But I think they're all the best tool, right? Each week I say it's my favorite one, right? They're all great. They all saved my life. It's misunderstood, some might say. The triangle, the sliding scale, misunderstood, some might say. Others might say, just set it off to the side for later investigation. Too much there. But for those who get it and use it, understand the clarity found in the sliding scale, the gladiator methods of the triangle for those triathletes of life who unlock themselves in chapter 12, there you will find a boldness discovered from deep within a person's basic force of life. Oh, Pat, that was a pretty big sentence. It's truth. For those who get it, who clearly get it, the gladiator methods of the triangle, the measurement techniques of the sliding scale, triathletes of life unlock themselves in chapter 12, and they discover a boldness from deep inside of them, a basic force of life. Long story short, a guide to measuring what you can do for God and what he does for you. The three sides, mind, body, spirit, yours to do for God, yeah. Tending to those things he has given you, your mind, your body, and your spirit, yours to do. Yours to do for God, cultivating one's mind, cultivating health and strength, doing the things that God has given you to inspire you to live and take in the very breath of life itself. How many people in the Old Testament lived over 100 years old, still strong? Moses, to name one of many. Noah, one of two of many. There are many there, and I so many come to mind. I got to move on. I got to tell you, God has given you this tool to inspire you to live and take in the very breath of life itself. Caleb was 80 years old when he took the neighborhood that was rightly his in the promised land. That's three sides, mind, body, and spirit. They kept themselves going, man. They kept themselves in line. Their mind, their body, their spirit. The things that make them live, man. Feel life. The breath, the sun, the wind, water. Come on. Life is amazing. You gotta grasp it and take care of it. And what happens then? The fourth and fifth sides, God. What is the fourth and fifth sides of the triangle? The front and the back. God. God. Knowledge and wisdom. His will. Perspective. God's own sight in your eyes. Each step, guiding, pushing, straining, as if your mind would burst with any more of it. God, God, truth, light, love. All that matters in the fourth and fifth side of this triangle. We speak. That is all that matters. And you can't do that without him. I use this to discover God in me. Perhaps you'll do the same. Chapter 12 is about balance, the sliding scale, a measurement one can look upon and gauge correctness, incorrectness, selfish lies, and the greatest of all, a gauge that can measure the warning, I tell you, that stands before us all. As we have been given authority in our lives, and it's best we use it for all that is good. Luke 12, 47, 49. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask more. The triangle, chapter 12, chapter 13. We're running into we're getting close. Chapter 13, the day he opened my eyes. My testimony. My testimony, kids. He touched my eyes, and there before me was so much more. And every day, there was so much more. In every day, so much more. So much, I could hardly stand it. I got so much more, as much as I could stand. As much as I could stand, I saw more and more every day. The day he opened my eyes, the day when my journey begins to a place my Lord had prepared for me, a place where my spirit could find rest, assurance, and understanding, a comprehension that all I had done, get this, all I had done, all of it, sins, strife, challenges, failures, completions, successes, hope and hopeless, love and broken heart, all of it, transgressions, mistakes, all of it, absolutely all of it, he would now use as a tool for his glory and my redemption. Everything I learned, everything I saw, everything I was sorry for, he would use it all for his glory and my redemption. And most importantly, that this thing I now could see, most importantly, that this thing I now could see, not all people could see it. And fear came upon me, for I now know there is a difference. I was lost, and now I was found, blind, but now I see. Many of those around me did not see. Did not see, kids. Why did I get to see him? Man, I don't know. Thank God I can. Thank God you can. Matthew 13, 14 through 70. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Oh, whoa, man. My friends, use this call and the voice of reason, the voice of God, to continue to find your way. He speaks to you specifically in the Word. Dare not listen anymore to the voice of treason. That voice, it is not him. And that voice desires your catastrophic failure. You have been given eyes to see and ears to hear. Use them. Chapter 13, Chapter 13, the day he opened my eyes. Chapter 14, where does judgment begin? Remind yourself, judgment is for God, period. It is talked about in Scripture many times. One that I recall is the white throne judgment, the end of time. The white throne judgment is the end of time. Christ is the judge, and what happens there is the end of all evil. There is nothing there for us, and it's best we stay away from all that. Because all that brings just such an end, the end of everything, and the beginning of something brand new. But the white throne judgment is the end of everything and all those that oppose God. For me and you, there is, however, responsibility. And in responsibility, there is an assessment. If I find myself in judgment of anything, it is at the end of assessment. Judgment begins when assessment ends. My job is to assess, not judge. I have a responsibility. Judgment is without love, without solution. Assessment is with love and solution. We are company owners. Assessment is part of the gig. It's the job every day for the purpose of good and what is right for the work God has given us. Your own judgment is irrelevant and disobedient to the cause of solutions that God has given you. He's given you a job to be a part of the solution, not a part of anything else. Good people are hard to find, aren't they? Lazy people are hard to avoid, am I right? You're in charge of your company. He did that for you. My job, assessment. My job is assessment, to do what's best in a situation. Otherwise, I cross over into judgment. And that, my friends, is reserved for the divine, definitely above my pay scale. Romans 14, 13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. We're winding it up in chapter 15, doing better than your best. For those of you that this is the first time you've heard this, or you've been listening to me and you're reminded of this and you haven't gone back and listened to these podcasts that are on the website, you haven't read the notes, shame on you. God gave all this to me and you for free to remind us that He is with us, we are not alone, and that there are solutions to these gigantic problems that the world has, that you have in the world. Chapter 15, doing better than your best. I can't do better than my best. Let me say it again, children of God. I can't do better than my best. Kind of looks like Jack Black. I can't do better than my best. I can do my best. That's all. That's all I can do is my best. If I want to do better than my best, I need God. There's nothing I can do to negotiate a better deal in my life with my brain alone. Gosh, I feel like I have to say things over and over today, don't I? I can't do better than my best with my own brain. I can create a whole lot of problems, challenges, and chaos, and not to mention a whole lot of work for myself that may or may not be productive. You guys know that one, right? You can create a whole lot of work for yourself. More is not better, better is better. More. I can create a whole lot of work, and it may or may not be productive. For sure, anything good will not last as long as one would hope for. In God, things have quite a bit more longevity. Without God, things might be good, but they don't last very long, right? Navigate towards the Lord every day, every minute, through your sins, challenges, failures, pride, shortcomings, and successes. John 14, 12, I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, wow. Chapter 15, doing better than my best. I want to do that every day, don't you? Train hard, work hard. Keep to the list he tells you is important, not the one you are deflecting to, right? The next shiny object on the table, right? Stay the course. Keep to the assignment, the mission, if you will. Keep yourself in order. Stay strong. Be an example for our children and those around you. When you fall, get up and push on. Be with him. Good days, bad days, days you fall, days you prevail, days you breathe. Give him thanks and achieve in his holy name, consistent and committed in all matters of Christ. Be an overachiever. Do better than your best in his grace. Chapter 16, revisit chapters 1 through 15. Today it was 9 through 14, 9 through 15. And use these little gems that I give you. Use these little gems you find throughout each one. I, Patrick, am a broken man held together by Jesus. The cracks are still visible, tied together in his holy grace and mercy alone. Read my notes and use them to find your way to the master's classroom and the only textbook that matters, the Bible. Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Amen, amen. John, let's shake, rattle, and roll.